If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill at its lowest price ever and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first and only GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Based on advertised cash price for 30-day supply of medication only. Membership required. Fee not included, and billed separately. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome to 40K Lorecast. Hi. That's how fast this is. Cold open today, guys. So, my voice sounds like crap. Brad's voice sounds like crap.
This guy, Brad Chester.
Yeah, fine.
We've got protocol, John.
No, we're not.
Things happen.
We're doing it this way. I got back to my house at 1 o'clock in the morning, and my kid still woke up at the regular time because he didn't drive back from Adepticon super late. Hey, everybody. Brad and I want to hop on real quick and record a video and audio for everybody after Adepticon. Really wanted to first off start
2026
off.
2026 recap, baby.
Yeah. Do a quick little recap of our experience with Adepticon. Mostly do a quick thank you to a lot of you and just run through it real quick. First off, I think thank you. A lot of you came by. Holy crap, a lot of you came by.
So many people came up and chatted with us. It was super fun.
And it super annoyed Alan because Brad was more famous than him.
It pissed him off because I keep getting pulled away too. He's like, damn it, Brad, focus up.
Yeah. But I do want to thank everyone who came by. It was really great that you guys came by. Couldn't have thanked you enough for coming by and saying hello. It really is amazing to meet people. So first and foremost, cool as hell. I love talking to you all. Anytime you guys want to come by and see us, if we're at an event, it's great. So please do that every time. Some of you guys were actually able to have the time to hang out for a bit. That was even cooler. Having people kind of come by our games was just fun. It gave me joy. So wanted to really let everyone know. That was awesome. We had a hell of a time there. A lot of you were there too, which was great. Playing with you, playing against a couple of you actually, more than a few times, was cool. And we thought we'd just hop on real quick and talk about Adepticon a little bit more in depth. And really wanted to do a couple of things. Talk about our experience there. Not so much as a like, ooh, look how important John and Brad are and all the stuff we did there. But really is to help people understand why we go to things like Adepticon. Because Adepticon's maybe the best. To me, it's the best event I go to. I haven't gone to the European events yet, so I don't want to speak for them. But domestically, to us in the U.S. domestically, I think Adepticon's the best event by a wide margin. And so the team tournament is
their signature event there. And I love it.
Even the singles, I think it's pushing you to do singles as well. But I mean, I did extreme. I played 12 games over 4 days with 3 different armies. And had an absolute blast doing it because of the way Adepticon's set up. I was tired, but it was 1,000% worth it. So let's just jump into it. So Adepticon, for those who don't know, is the largest tabletop gaming convention in North America. If you factor in everything, there are, I think, larger 40K events, Maybe.
But not for everything that's going on. They had so many different game systems there. Huge amounts of different things going on. Plus, they also had the Golden Demon Awards there. They had a ton. They have wild amounts of paint seminars, different things you could get into. They have just, they have big, big names. If you're into hobby and painting and stuff, they had some huge artists there.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to talk about. So when we talk about Adepticon, obviously this is a cast on 40K. So it's a 40K lore cast. But at Adepticon, you have Kill Team, which is still 40K. But you also have Sigmar. Well, actually, let's really dive into it. You have 40K competitive. You have 40K narrative. You have 40K friendly. You have 40K, I think, like, whatever you want to call what Stephen Box is doing. Educational? Well, you know? Yeah, then you've got Sigmar.
Longmore doubles.
But yeah,
I'm just saying. Then, they're wildly different formats, though. Yeah.
Exactly. And then we get into Sigmar, Lord of the Rings, X-Wing. I mean, the battle, it's one of the largest Battletech, if not the largest Battletech event. A bunch of games I don't even know the names of. There's probably a Blood Bowl there.
Tons of different.
Yeah. If you play tons of Crisis Protocol.
If you have a mini game, they have it there. There's a tournament going on. And also, there's a lot of small things going on. So, like, during all the team events, they were having small RTTs, Rogue Traders, like small one-day events, but they were also having open gaming where you could play. So tons of people were just meeting and playing games and stuff. So there was something going on all the time. And they also have a wild amount of the dealers there. They have huge amounts of people selling anything you could possibly get your hands on. And a lot of people come here specifically for that because you have bits and models that you could possibly not have gotten your hands on unless you came here. They also had
the StarCraft tabletop miniatures game.
StarCraft tabletop was there. Yeah.
Yeah, that was there. I'd never seen it before. Yeah. I actually don't even know. I don't even know when the game released, but I saw a lot of people had it. So I can tell you what, it's out now.
True story.
And so that was there. You can see it. Really is an amazing place for seeing stuff. So that's why we go. And it is, for those who don't know, it's in Milwaukee now. It was in Chicago forever. And they just outgrew it, candidly. They moved from Schaumburg, Illinois, which is, we call it Chicago. It's not. But it was Chicago, and they moved
close
out of that.
Enough.
It's not. But they moved out of that because they literally outgrew the spot. We could not fit anymore to this amazing venue in Milwaukee, which has been great. So for Brad and I, it's a little bit rough because it's Milwaukee's right at that mark where it's just close enough that you should drive it. And by just close enough, it's, I have to drive and pick his butt up. So once I pick his, once I pick Brad up, it's 5.5 hours and in a car. And we boogie out and get up there with a stop off at Alan's house so Brad can finish the display board that should have been done a month prior.
Which was awesome this year.
We'll get there. But the structure for Adepticon for this year for Brad and I was a little bit different. Brad, you know, as you guys know, have had some health things, and so he decided this year not to do champs, which is
I've been champs for a while though.
You thought about maybe possibly going back and decides what Brad and I discussed doing was to have a bit more fun this year. Champs is rough. Champs is you play four games on Saturday, which is rare. You usually don't play four games on Thursday, and then if you are undefeated or Folger, close enough or have one loss and have enough points to qualify, you then qualify to play on Friday in a single elimination event from there on out. It's rough, but it's kind of fun. Friday.
Also, because it's even worse. Because it's four games on Thursday. If you qualify the top 32, you play four games on Friday. And if you make the finals, there's an extra game on top of that
on Saturday night.
Yeah. That they finished at 12:30 at night.
Yeah, it's not ideal. So anyway, what Brad and I discussed doing was, I always play in champs because whatever, I'm weird. And then Brad and I decided to play together in doubles as a team on Friday. And then we were on our own separate different teams, so a team tournament for Saturday and Sunday. So I was alone on Thursday with Brad on Friday. And then we didn't play each other on Saturday and Sunday, but we were ranked. We were trying to beat each other's teams in ranking. I did not succeed. So, to no one's surprise, by the way. But let's talk about it. So, get to Adepticon. This hall is massive. For people who've never been there, I mean, absolutely massive. And Adepticon used to have a really bad reputation. A long time ago, their terrain wasn't very good. The spot they had in Chicago was really tight. So getting in, moving in around the spot was hard. It was not comfortable as all stuff. This new venue is massive. Tons of space between boards. Easy to move around. The terrain is lovely. All the boards are set close enough to being perfect. Really great setup. So really wonderful setup for a venue. And I'll just kind of talk about my Thursday was super fun. I got there. First match was a guy named Steve. He played Black Templar. I was running my Drukhari for this one. We're not going to talk about what the list was because it really doesn't matter, candidly. We had a hell of a time. Steve's a, he's a newer player, Black Templar player. I guess his kids played, which is kind of funny. We were having a grand old time with it. Unfortunately, I was running a list that was meant to kill Space Marines and vehicles because I had Haywire. So that happened. Good game, though. Ton of fun. And the thing about it was really good, fun opponent and really good, fun game. We're talking stuff out. We're having a really nice time as we're just playing the game, discussing this, discussing that. Just fun. Overall, fun game. That game concludes. My next one's a guy named Jeremy who's playing Astra Militarum with three full packs of horses. And as you all can imagine, I made it my mission to make sure he had no horses at the end of the game. I didn't even care about winning the game. I was just all I cared about. And he didn't know this, but my entire plan was to make sure he didn't have a single horse at the end of the game. And unfortunately for him, on turn one, I got first turn. And those who don't know, witches in Spectacle of Spite can fly and like move really quickly. I made a turn one charge with a pack of witches and a succubus into the first chunk of horses and killed every single one of them.
By the way, such a low impact target for you, for your army, still had to kill them on turn.
No, it's not. It's exactly what my army had to kill.
100%. Sorry. Yeah. Top tier target.
Thank you. Thank you for understanding about the process.
My bad.
Yeah. Stop insulting my battle plan, Brad. Within two turns, he had no horses left. And then there were some tanks or something in there. I don't care. Horses were all dead. Won that game. Then.
Hold on. Pause on it. I want to tell this from my side because I am making fun of your tactics. I come to the arena. John, we're taking the board over from Chicago to Milwaukee. And I told John I'd be up there. I want to meet some people. We're going to hang. We're going to do some stuff. And John goes, hey, I'm on the GW stream. You know, basically, when you come in, come over. I come over. I look at what he's playing, and he's playing Space Wolves. And he's playing against an army that's got a ton of infantry.
Let me sell this a bit more fun, just real quick. Because you're getting ahead, and I'll let you get into this. So I walk up to the table against a Space Wolf player named Dan. Nice guy. And I see Paul Murphy kind of hanging around us. And I will say, this timing couldn't have been better, because we got put on the one table with the worst terrain I've ever seen. It had that, remember the old Chaos, it had two of those in the middle of the board, which is like for both of our armies.
The Nocturne Ideals?
Yeah. Like the eye thing, no value, right? And we're both like, well, what do we do this? And I just see Paul Murphy hanging around, and he comes up, and I knew what he was doing. He's basically checking our armies to make sure our armies were GW armies, and he brought us over. So we go over, and for those who don't know, Paul Murphy and Skari run the GW cast. Skari's a massive Drukhari player, and by massive, I mean he is the most famous Drukhari player on the planet by power of 50.
You mean because he's called Archon Skari?
Yeah, like there's no one more famous for it. So it's kind of a cool moment, I'll be honest, for me, and also a moment of fear of like, don't screw your rules up, don't screw your rules up, don't screw your rules up. But we walk over there and we go to play, and I'm playing into a very, very melee-based Space Wolves. So continue, Brad, on to what I end up doing.
I look at the list while I'm talking. I'm driving with Alan, and I'm like, oh, Barsadi's on stream. Let me see his opponent. And I'm like, oh, it's a super aggressive list, but his army goes perfect as long as he doesn't play super cagey and tries to do stuff and goes full John. Barsadi's it up.
So basically, if I do a John and not a Brad, I would win.
Oh, I win. And I was like, if he plays cagey, and I go, but he, and he said to Alan, I go, you know what? There's no way he's not. Even when I tell him to be cagey, he's never cagey. He'll full send. He has too much stuff. He'll kill the guy's army. I walk up to the stream table and I look over and go, God damn it, John. And he's playing the cagiest game I've ever seen you play in your whole life.
I still did. Setting wreck. Up. It was still a great, it was, you guys can actually go watch the game. It is available on YouTube. You go to Warhammer Plus or Warhammer's channel on YouTube. You can see the game. You won't really see me. You'll see my hand is all you'll see. But it is a very fun game. It got super killy. Dan was an amazing opponent. We had the time of our lives with this one. I don't think he's ever seen Space Wolf Terminators just get wrecked like that because the Hellions can do some damage when they come in hard. It was one of these games where stuff just kept dying. In the end, I lost. Whatever, I don't actually care. And then I finished up the day into a guy named Nick who's running Emperor's Children, and turns out I can't kill Emperor's Children Demon Princes. That's just kind of the best way to explain it. Those don't die to a Drukhari army. It was a very quick, by turn three, I was like, I'm tired, and this game can end.
With no dark lances.
I had no dark lances. I had a moment.
Doesn't affect monsters.
Yeah. I had a moment on turn three where I just went, I'm just going to full send into this because I kind of want to go home and I have no way of winning this game unless this guy's dice fall apart. So, whee! Sorry. But that concludes the John only part. Now, Friday is the fun day. Friday is doubles. Doubles is a really cool thing where there's a few people who actually care, and I don't like those people. Everyone else plays doubles for fun. You get a buddy, and you and your buddy go bring 1,000 points, and you each bring 1,000 points.
But in this one, Highlander, you Hold can only on. Bring one of anything.
And that's a key part. Now, Adepticon this year did a very fun thing. They've always been that the rule's always been everyone brings 1,000 points. Each one has 1,000 points, you play together. And at the very top of the player packet, it said, this year, Adepticon, we're doing something different. We're going to run it Highlander style. And it writes under that meaning, and it explains what Highlander is. And in classic doubles format, no one read that. No one. Everyone.
We brought
Brad and I only found out by chance. Sure. Almost everyone we knew.
By someone that I coached telling me. Yeah. Because I said, my list is so crazy. I only have these two big things and three of this. And he goes, that's illegal. It's Highlander. And I went, oh. And then I called John and went, hey, man, we have a legal list. We need to change these up. I know that other people didn't because we brought models from Alan's
house. Yeah, I was going to say another friend of Brad, Mike, called Brad to ask Alan to bring models for them because they didn't have enough. I mean, everyone was messing their stuff around. But anyway, we get to doubles. And Brad and I decide to run Orc on Orc. I run all buggies. Except I brought a Dacajet. And we're going to talk more about that Dacajet in a minute. And yeah, Brad
talking bought about a game three when it was perfect.
Bop, 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 where you bribed somebody. That was, you actually cheated. So you bribed somebody on that one. So it was a fantastic time though. So we get in there and Brad and I decide to bring, we're bringing all orcs. And we had an absolute blast. Our first opponent, the list is Theochia, it was a husband-wife combo who were running Death Guard.
Oh, fantastic.
And I'm going to go with Black Legion. I don't know, it was something chaos. I don't know. I don't care. And they were the best time. They came into us. We went full send back. And
she also, and thank you so much for her rolling the world's worst dice.
The amount of ones were impressive. But one of the highlights of this game is Brad and I have been discussing me bringing the Dacajet. And I told him,
screw this.
The Dacajet's
awesome. I
hate
flyers so much.
And I know the Dacajet is actually awesome because Dacajets have a fun little ability that every time they hit, they get what's called a critical hit. And in the case of a Dacajet, every time if it gets a critical hit, each hit counts for double. And if you put a mech nearby, the mech means because it's an orc vehicle, it gets +1 to hit. So every four is two hits.
Your shooting phase, I'm telling you right now, for the most part, did so little. It took so long.
Except,
I have no guns. No, sorry. I have one spear.
Except the Dacajet just picked up
stupid jet.
Everything. And so the first game, the Dacajet just starts wrecking things on the board, and Brad's having to slowly watch as this thing's epic. But that's just game one.
It's just so annoying.
Game ends. Our next game is into Trevor and somebody else, who are running a combo of Crusher Stampede and Vanguard, or whatever it's called, Invasion. Whatever.
Invasion Fleet.
Invasion Fleet Tyranids. And this game's a lot tougher. I mean, much better matchup, but we're having a very good game until the Daka Jet comes in.
And they never shoot it.
And once again.
You flew it on their home objective, which, by the way, doesn't take the home objective. You just flew it on there to spite them, apparently.
And then shot them off their home objective with the Daka Jet.
By the way, which you could have done from anywhere, but you chose to fly it there.
Yeah.
By the way, in front of their guns, they could have touched it with the Zoes.
By the way, they did
shot it with the Exo.
By the way, they did shoot it with the Zoes and missed.
But the one time, that is true. They missed every time.
The Daka Jet wrecked. And it just spent the day being the MVP of our army. So in two games, we're two games in, we're having a great time, and the Daka Jet is causing problems. So we get to our third game against Hunter, and I don't remember the other guy's name, and they're running a Black Templar and Dark Angels list. And this is the highlight of our day, is this game. We loved everybody, but those two were... We were laughing so hard. It's absolute pure joy of a game. And we're playing the game, and it's not going great for them. I'll be perfectly honest. The dice are just not in their favor, and they're in our favor. And it's getting ugly. And we haven't even gotten to turn three yet. And Brad turns to them, and the game is obviously over at this point.
Because he said they were talking about, basically, we know this game's pretty much over, blah, blah, blah. You know, we'll concede in a bit. We'll tell you, have your turn. I go, right now, I will buy you guys drinks if you concede before John can shoot you with his Daka Jet.
Yeah. Because Brent did not want the Daka Jet. Because all they had on the board was infantry. So the only thing the Daka Jet was going to kill. And Brad bribed our opponents to forfeit the rest of their game, which we were going to win anyway. It wasn't cheating. To forfeit the rest of their game so my Daka Jet couldn't prove to him how good it was.
He goes, we will concede. Take your turn and then we'll concede if there's nothing left. And I go, I'll buy you drinks if you concede now before he can shoot you.
And those guys were an absolute delight.
Incredible. We hung out at the bar for a long time. It was great.
Absolutely fantastic time. So but after that, Brad and I go from friends to enemies. We get to Saturday. And we get to 40K team tournament, which is goofy. So normally team tournaments are 5 to 8 if you're lame. 8-man team tournaments are stupid.
It's not lame. Stop drinking your haterade, John.
They're lame. So normally when you do a team tournament, you all play individually. Everyone plays a 2,000 point list, and it's individual, and then it's kind of aggregate scores. Adepticon does it weird. I think Adepticon does it better, if I'm being honest. Adepticon basically does two pairs of doubles. So it's 4,000 point lists.
Yeah. It's 4,000 point lists. You still have to maintain any combination of any of those two lists.
Yeah.
It has to be a legal army. So you can't have more than three of anything. You can't have two named characters. But they randomly assign you for the first day. You play three games, and you play with each other of your team members. So all three.
Yeah.
One game after another. And then on day two, you get to decide who you want on each table. So.
Yeah. And it's a really fun format. And so we get into this one. It's a little bit goofy. There's some additional rules they throw in that I'm sure on your team, Brad, you guys are aware of. And on my side, we just decided with each of our opponents, can we just skip those? Because we don't understand what any of them mean.
They made them so... Oh,
they were
God,
so man. Complicated.
Made the game so much harder.
Well, on our third one, both tables next to each other, we all read it to each other and looked at... And literally, so 8 people looked at each other and went, so we're just going to skip that, right? And all of us, yes.
You, we're talking about these rules. First game, you cannot hold an objective unless there's somebody from both teams on the objective. So you had to have a unit from either side. That makes it super hard. It also makes it a really bad time for one of the players because every team decides to kill one guy's force so they can no longer hold objectives.
Yeah.
So there's always somebody gets picked on and picked up. That game was super hard. My first game, we did that, and we also had to play against two Primarchs, so we kind of had to lay in wait for a little bit, and then after we killed those guys, we were able to just push in and kill the stuff. But that was a tough game. They had a cool concept. These guys had all the dark robes, the Too Many Tentacles team. Yep. They brought all four Demon Primarchs.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, I played something called the Got Your D6s, and it was fun. Unfortunately, I will be honest, my team, we brought Blades of Ultramar. I was playing Carcharodon. So to our defense, we built a Carcharodon army, my team. Dan, Mike, Kramer, and I, we built a, from scratch, Carcharodon army with a Kramer did an amazing job on his conversions. So we took the Carcharodons and turned into Blades of Ultramar. We made Tiberos, Gilliman. All the named characters came over. So it was really clean. Army looked amazing too. But we were running Blades of Ultramar. We didn't have any tanks, but it meant that we could clap. And so when we played Gotcha yeah. D6, we clapped. Eradicator, Stern Guard, Vets. I mean, Jesus, a 10 pack of Assault Terminators with Lightning Claws and full rerolls and is pretty gross. But anyway, so that game was pretty good for us. Next game had the inverse. I played Billy and the Boisterous Boys. That one, yeah, that wasn't ideal. There's losing, and then there's what I did. That was, this was the dice weren't there, but that wasn't the point. It was just a cool, that's all dead. Awesome. But the nice thing is I got to have a long lunch.
I had the opposite. I didn't have the opposite. I didn't say the opposite. I had the brain. I did listen to Robert Downey. Yeah. I had everything set up, and then I decided to just forget they had one more unit in reserve. So they rapided me. I had a flip where they took a 15 and I got a 0 that was supposed to be the other way around. And then I had to fight back. Yeah. So at the end of the game, we killed other models. But the game 2 special rule was you could, if you had a unit from each army on it in the command phase, you super stickied it, the objective. So you couldn't actually take the objective away unless you had somebody from both armies on the objective. So at the end of the game, I had killed all of the opponent's armies or models, but I couldn't take some of the objectives back away because I couldn't get units from both armies on the objective. So even though there was no one there, they were still scoring primary. I was like, this is so frustrating. I can't, there's nobody even there. I'm having a dance party on their corpses, but they're still scoring that objective.
Yeah, and then I got to my third game, which had one of the absolute funniest things I've ever seen. So played into orcs, and they had one half of it was Green Tide, which is a good detachment, and the other half was the mech detachment, Brad, whose name I'm forgetting off the top of my head.
Death.
And they had two Gorkas and a Morka, or two Morkas and a Gorka.
A Gorkanaut and a Morkanaut?
They had two. They had two and a one. And I'm trying to remember which way it went. I think it was two Gorkas and a Morka, if I'm not mistaken, because there was one belly.
Yes. Right. Were they pushing the button so much?
Yeah. Well, it's the highlight of the game.
By the way, it is Dreadmob, by the way.
Dreadmob. The highlight of the game to me was when the Gorkanaut was used to kill 5 scouts.
That's not a great trade.
And one scout died to shooting.
Seems like a worse trade.
I've never seen models do this poorly in my life. I also had Star Guard Vets into 20-man bricks of boys. Yeah, it wasn't ideal. Anyway, that game was super fun. It ended up being a tie for us, but then the other board was a 20-0. So it was a really great game, super fun time. And then that night, though, both of us, and this is where Brad talked
us over the thick coats guys, though.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. So you did. That was me. Yeah. Brad's team then played probably the largest local, one of the largest local groups to us, and actually people who are very close to us from a friend's standpoint.
Thick coat, I played Nick and Marcus, and Adam, Brian played on the other table against us, and we had a blast. I played with Alan, and Alan was getting so mad because we didn't start the game for a good half hour because Nick and I just talked and told stories, and Alan's like, let them take their turn, Brad. We haven't done a single thing.
Yeah, I will say the only complaint I do have about Adepticon team tournaments, I think they got to move to 3-hour rounds because
it's way too short.
It's really hard to get through 5 rounds. In the champs game, I never had one time where I was even pushing close to time. But in team, every single time we were pushing close on time. And I'm a fast player. It takes more time
because you have two people, though.
Yeah, that's it. But even when I was playing with DK, we're both Drukhari players. We both play fast. We could not get the games to go quickly, which was really a shock. Actually, and I was playing Kramer. I mean, all of us are quick players. We could not get the game to go quickly. But the cool thing then was Saturday night, we had a great experience, at least for us. It was a normal thing for Brad. Both Brad's team and my team had some pretty serious display boards. Brad's team and Alan, much more so, and Alan, we got to take part in Armies on Parade. And Armies on Parade, which someone should have warned me how long it takes, where everyone who gets invited into it puts out their display boards. And you guys can see this. It's going to be in the Warhammer community. You'll see pictures of it. They have video, all this stuff, of our display boards with our models on it. And people come through and you explain to them, this is what our army is. This is our theme. This is all these things. And they actually grade you on it. You get points for your painting, you get points for your theme, these pieces.
If you get Armies on Parade, you have the opportunity to score points above and beyond in theme, painting, spirit. You can get multiple extra points that anybody that didn't make the Armies on Parade cannot get, which is either 1 or 2 points per category. But they add up, especially at the top of the Adepticon teams. The top teams are separated by almost nothing. Like, there's so few points that separate everybody in the top 10.
And that's so when you win at Adepticon teams, you don't just win based on, you know, win-loss record. It's win-loss record plus and hobby score. So this is why people do this. It's not, and the hobby score is 50%.
Yeah, we have, it would say you have theme, painting. Mm. The display board's a completely separate thing as part of that, you know. Mm. You have extras. You also have spirit points. So
yeah, so you're trying to make this Armies on Parade. Making Armies on Parade does matter. And so, for my whole team, none of us had ever been in this before, including, I want to call out Kramer again here. Kramer did such a hell of a job on the models. Such a hell of a job. And, I mean, a highlight for me is we're in Armies on Parade, and Duncan Rhodes was walking through, and I looked to my right, and I just saw him. He was next to me. Was asking Kramer about how he did the Terminators in our army. And I don't think Kramer even registered who it was at the moment. For those who don't know who Duncan Rhodes are, look him up. Duncan's basically what got a lot of us into painting Warhammer. So for that person to be asking you how you did something, not in a hey, I could never do this, but just that's cool, man. That's a really great moment for somebody. And I could not, I was texting with Kramer this morning again. I'm so proud of him. It was such an amazing moment to have that, having people come through and see stuff. You also probably will see, for those who haven't seen it, we did convert our logo into a 3D object that speaks and has glowing eyes.
Let's talk about how that went for Brad the entire... I asked John to make this thing.
Let's go there. You asked me to make it. The reason I told you no is because I tried to do it. I couldn't do it. And then later, someone showed me how to do it. So I figured out how to do it. And then I did it.
And then he adds the speaker to it, and all weekend long, we're walking around, has the standard with 40K Laircast on it, and he just has it talk shit to me.
Yeah.
The whole weekend. Weekend long.
The entire time we're playing doubles, because it was attached to my phone, I was just having the servo skull yell at Brad while we're at doubles, telling him that he's doing wrong.
Yeah. The whole thing. Yeah.
I also set it to be exactly 6 feet tall, so if you get any photos of Brad
You can see how short
Brad actually is. It was perfect scale. These are things we do for fun in this world. But it was great. Armies on Parade was amazing. What was more amazing was leaving Armies on Parade and finally eating, because I had no idea it was going to go till 10 o'clock. So I hadn't eaten since like 11. I was dying.
We used to always order. Well, we used to be at the other places. We would actually just order like random food.
Yeah, but we couldn't. That was a problem. All because the hall had food in it and the hall of food closed. Yeah. It was fine.
Yep. That's because we could do it this year. But years before, we knew how long it was going to be. So we don't.
That bit was rough.
Let's give some props to the other people before we go to the next games.
Oh my God.
Some fantastic boards.
That Sigmar board.
Beautiful. Oh my, that was insane.
So
it was there just was crazy.
That Sigmar board could have caught fire earlier that day. They could have put it out, and it still would have won.
Yeah, it was so
it was that good. It was like all of us saw it and just went, why did we bother? It was amazing. Like, I can't describe it. You'll have to look it up. It had layers to it. There was this giant kraken. There was whales and multiple whales that were being
whaling.
Like,
it was just
apart.
So crazy. It's spilling out its guts.
I've never seen something like this.
It was bananas. Yeah,
but seriously, if that board had caught fire and they could have put it out
with tar and it would have been
better than and half the boards there, including my own. Like by a wide margin. Like it was absolutely incredible.
Props out to the local guys, Once They Coat. Again, those guys did great. Rune Forge did a really great job. The Butters and the boys, again, hit it out of the park. Good stuff.
I mean, really great
give
time.
Props to. I think for myself, my team, I'm not trying to pat myself on my back.
Oh,
because my arms are too short.
Your guy's board
Alan
was beautiful.
Alan did his best board that he's ever. And this is, 20 team tournaments now?
Better than the World Eater board?
Yeah. As far as cleanness and stuff, it was just very.
The World Eater one, I think, is your best.
I like the World Eater's
the
board.
The World Eater and your Orc, I think, are your best. I still think those are your best.
I'm just talking about the ones I'm with. On that, the Orc board might have been because it spun. I like that board a lot. Because it opened up and it rotated. But this board was so clean. It looked so pretty.
Yeah,
I just really liked. I like the effects. We had stained glass effects inside and they were from the scenes from the book. We did ours on Rin's World, and we had the different, basically the comic stuff that you had. The different scenes, the animations were in the windows. I think Alan did, this is for me, it was my favorite board as far as that. I mean, I'll always go back to the Exodine Elves for my favorite theme and whatnot.
Yeah, that's me. But yeah, anyway, so that was Thursday. That was good to Saturday night. Then we get to Sunday morning. We have two more games to play. This is where it gets to be for Brad, the championship rounds. For me, the not championship rounds. Because we're 2-1. They're... Actually, you were 2-1 as well, so shut up. I don't know why you guys are still trying. But we play someone called...
Because we had a million more points than you.
Dorks.
I still haven't lost a game there.
Anyway, so we go into Anvil of Faith. We actually have the funniest team tournament scenario. So the way team tournament scoring is a little bit different that people don't know. You get... It's dumb, but it makes sense.
It's not dumb.
It's dumb, but it makes sense. It's dumb because zero. When I say it's dumb because if you don't play it, it doesn't make sense to you till you play it. The idea is basically, yes, you score the game like you do normally, 0 to 100. But then depending on the difference of score between you and your opponent, you get something. The difference is 0 to 20, effectively. So the best is 20-0, 19-1, 18-2, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In my game... The two boards played. On my side, we tabled and got a 20-0. And my teammates had the inverse and got 20-0 the other way around. So we tied.
Draw.
So we had a tie. That was cool. So I'm now 2-1-1. I think you guys may have won. That was his Anvil of Faith. They're out of the Southern Chicago, Indiana area. Great guys. It was a super fun game. Wild matchup. It was more matchups. I was playing with, I think, Kramer. And I had Eradicators. And I was playing into an all mechanized Death Guard and Nightlist. And it was like, well, that just all dies.
We had a crazy game with mine. They played the new Corsairs, Eldar.
Yeah.
With Prince Uriel and stuff, which is fun. And they had Dark Angels. And it was hilarious because we set up and they went first. We came in, killed a ton of stuff. He comes in on his turn two, whatever. He YOLO swags Deathwing Knights off the Deep Strike, charges, and By the way, made three consecutive nine or better charges with the Deathwing Knights. Those guys were on fire. Comes in. I put nine Centurions into the Deathwing Knights and didn't kill them. And it was like, hey, awkward situation. I'm real sorry about shooting at you guys. Sorry? Could we be friends now? And then Mitch put 31 wounds and then 7 wounds from Shrike into 10 Corsairs and Uriel and didn't kill them.
Good job.
We were like, this could have went better.
Yeah.
We grounded out, eventually killed everybody, but it was dicey for a while. It was one of those, oh no, this could be real, real bad.
Yeah. But then we get to the last game of the day. And so for us, my team, we played in a team called Skellia. They were out of DC area. It was, my side was Big Bug Nids and Necrons. There it is. And good game. Unfortunately, bad matchup for them. I've got a heater of an Ultramarine style list. And this time I was matched up with a Gilliman. So it's even worse. And I have out of line of sight shooting. So that wasn't fair. So again, beat them. Great opponents. So God, they were nice guys. They were cool, kind, super fun game, that kind of a thing. I think you guys had a bit more of a, not grinder, right? I think your last game was just good. It was just good opponents.
We were good. They ended up, we won both games in the last time, but it took us all the way. You know, those were 5-rounder, like grinder games. It was tough.
Yeah, I just remember we walked up to our game and the guys were like, hey, look, our last game finished on 3 because we ran out of time. And Dan and I were like, nope, we're going 5. Like, we're just going to play as fast as we can. Like, that, I will not let that happen. We're going 5. And so we played. And so it was a good game. And then we got to that point. And then I spent the next 45 minutes explaining to Brad that Toledo is a very, very long walk from Milwaukee. And he has very short legs. So he needed to stop talking to people and get in my damn car. Because
I enjoy talking, damn it.
I'm sure you do. But you know who wasn't driving? You. So get in my damn car. We're going damn home. So we ended up having to... We did an Irish goodbye. I did have enough time to say goodbye to almost everybody there. But if we didn't say goodbye to you, I'm sorry. I hope we did get a chance to say goodbye to everybody.
I did get kidnapped into the car.
I was mad. Brad was talking to somebody. I walked up to him and put his hand on his own suitcase I'd walked up with. I rolled his suitcase into him like, here you go. Look, take the hint. Time to leave. Let's get the...
It's actually what I said.
Literally,
I guess I'm leaving.
Yeah. And then you proceed to talk to more people elsewhere. But anyway, Adepticon was an absolute blast this year. And I really, again, one of the two things I want to say about it is everyone who can come to it should come to Adepticon. A couple of people came up to us and talked to us at the event. And the one phrase I heard a few times was intimidating. They felt getting into Warhammer and playing Warhammer is intimidating. And then once you start doing it, you realize it's not. So the one important thing is even champs. So champs is, I think, the most competitive part of Adepticon. So you're talking about the most competitive part of the largest event. It's really not. Yes, you might, your first game might be. You might hit somebody who's there to win it.
As a whole, though, the community is very, very accommodating.
Yeah.
They want to embrace you. They want people to play.
But that's what I was going to say.
They're willing to help you.
Yeah, and they're going to bring you in. And we were at dinner with Matt and Butters on, I want to say, one of those nights.
Thursday.
It was one of those nights. But anyway, and Matt had a really good comment. And what Matt said was that it's like painting. If you're worried about how your painting is compared to other people, no one's ever going to get mad at you if your painting's not great. If you put your models on the board and they're just painted okay, we're all going to be happy they're there. But the cool thing about it is, but if you put them on the board and they're okay, and you say to your opponent who's got well-painted models, you say, hey, man, like, I wish I could do that. That person will take 30 minutes to 5 hours of their time to help you do that. There's nothing that'll give them more joy than helping you do it. And that's what's so great about this community. Everything about this is...
I'll give you my experience with that, though. I just started painting, you know, semi-recently.
How'd the Eldar go?
I'm terrible at it. Not talking about it. But besides John, because he's a douche, but the amount of top painters that are so excited that I've now painted an army and I want to hear all about my crappy models, and are super pumped for me. And
we're all happy you're painting. It's just all right. So just people said why I just said we're all really inviting, and then talk shit on Brad. It's not that we're talking shit about. What we're doing is Brad has a confidence issue on the inverse, and
what?
Yeah, and was really proud of
painting.
Yeah, really. No, you were really proud of yourself.
I got them done.
No, you painted your orcs, and you were getting a little big for the britches. And we were all kind of like, "Look, they're good, Brad. We're proud of you."
We're proud of you.
And then you made the comment we were all waiting for. I think I'm going to paint Eldar next, and all of us went, "Yeah, you should do that."
Shaky hand, Brad.
Everyone was so excited for the guy with shaky sausage fingers and poor eyesight is going to go paint Eldar. Just by himself in a corner. Eldar, by the way, you can paint Eldar. There's no reason you wouldn't be able to paint Eldar. It just was whoa.
So much harder.
Yeah.
Those orcs Eldar were so easy. The Eldar were so tough.
Yes, it's Space Marines. Space Marines and orcs are good entries. Eldar, you're like, Jesus, why?
So. Yeah, I smoke bombed on those. With
But anyway, I just want to jump on real quick with everybody and let you guys know we were at Adepticon. We had a great time at Adepticon. For everyone who walked up to us at Adepticon, took pictures with us, that's awesome. For anyone who didn't, you should have, simply put, we couldn't have been happier to do it with you. Anytime you see us in an event, grab us. We will always make time for you. I have no problem walking away from my board. I don't care.
I already do that quite frequently.
Oh, yeah. But I was doing it in singles, too. It's one thing to do it in doubles when someone else can play for you. Dude, in singles, I walked away. I told my opponent, give me a minute. I
consistently do that in singles. Yeah. It's my opponent's move phase. This seems boring.
It's not critical. So that's that. But anyway, don't worry about it. It's not replacing any cast this week. Just want to throw an extra thing in there. So John Barsotti, Brad Chester.
This guy.
See you guys next time.